you. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, and let's see what's new in the world of electronic design this week. Well, Cadence snatched up Jasper Design Automation to fill out the formal verification shelves of their verification one-stop shop. Yep, that means that the Design Automation Conference just got one booth smaller. Again, I'm thinking by 2020, DAC should be about three booths. Three really big booths. And they better be serving coffee. In FPGA news, Altera shook up the FPGA ecosystem a whole bunch this week by announcing that not only do their Aria 10 FPGAs have hardened floating point DSP blocks in them, which have been secretly hiding there all along, apparently, and that their upcoming Stratix 10 FPGAs have an insane number of those floating point blocks, the first of their kind in an FPGA. By the way. But in addition to all that, they have also got working 14 nanometer test chips based on Intel's Trigate technology. And hey, who said that Intel deal wasn't working out? And, well, all right. I can't take it any longer. Let's talk about Project Aura. That's why you're here. Right? I had the distinct pleasure of attending last week's Project Aura conference at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. And even cooler, I got to interview one of the engineers working on this project and a CTO from a major programmable logic company at the same time. Oh, yes, I did. Because, well, I know people. So let's talk about Project Aura with Ara Kanian from NK Labs and David Rutledge, Chief Technical Officer from Lattice Semiconductor. Maybe you don't know what Project Aura is because you've been living under a rock for the past couple weeks. Or maybe you know a little bit, but you're dying to learn more. Or maybe you're wondering what FPGAs have to do with this modular smartphone revolution. Well, here we go. Hi, Ara. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
So first off, I understand the goal of Project Aura is to produce the world's first completely modular smartphone. Tell us more about that.
That's right. So Project Aura is an open platform from Google for people to create their own smartphone. So you're going to be able to go to the module store and select a group of modules that you want to make up your phone, application processor, camera, display, sensors. These modules will come from a module ecosystem of just similar to Android apps today, right, from a variety of third-party developers. You'll be able to, once you get your phone, you can use your phone, but then if you want to change one of the modules, for example, if you want to upgrade to a faster application processor, if there's some cool new sensor that you want to get, if you break your screen and you want to replace it, you know, you'll be able to do all of that, you know, at home. So a smartphone that you build yourself.
Expand on that a little bit. How do these modules actually work?
Sure. So the modules slide into slots and aluminum endoskeleton and attach via electropermanent magnets that hold them in. So this is an exciting technology where you can go into the Android UI and you can click attach and the magnet will be locked in by magnetic force. And it doesn't take any power, actually, to keep the force on or to keep the force off. And then the modules contain the function, obviously, that is needed, like a camera or a display, etc. And they communicate back to the endoskeleton. There's a switch, in the data switch in the endoskeleton. They communicate back to that using a capacitive data interface. So there's pad on each side, and it sends data over the MIPI UniPro at 10 gigabits per second. And then modules receive power from the endoskeleton and also can give power back. Any number of modules in the system can be power providers or power consumers. You can have multiple batteries. You can hot swap batteries on a call. We're pretty excited about the platform.
So Ara, tell me about what do you think are some exciting applications for this phone?
One is a smartphone, of course, right? Communications device. And we're excited that you can start with a basic phone and then over time upgrade to more and more functionality and higher performance components and that kind of thing. We're also excited about being able to have, you know, really unusual things that wouldn't make it into the design of a phone. You know, if a phone is designed for, you know, 100 million people, 100 million people probably don't want some cutting edge FTIR spectrometer to tell them, you know, like something about their food or something, right? And it would be a long time before that made it it into a mass market phone. But now a little small startup company can come along and have a business plan to make something like that and put it on the market and see what happens.
I saw somebody talking about a tricorder, you know, the Star Trek tricorder. It might be a very cool application for this. Okay, so let me bring in David Rutledge, CTO at Lattice Semiconductor. Now, David is here to talk to me about the FPGAs in the mix here. What do FPGAs, what role do they play in this?
Hi, Amelia. Thank you. I think the FPGAs are an interesting product. They bring an interesting set of capabilities to the table. And in the case of Project Ara, as Ara just mentioned, we start with an aluminum endoskeleton. And this aluminum endoskeleton is essentially a network backplane. It embeds a high-speed network backplane for each module to communicate from module to module. The FPGA is the interface to that backplane, essentially, and it is a programmable interface. And the importance here is it's built upon a new emerging MIPI standard. This is a high-speed backplane and built on a new emerging MIPI standard known as UniPro. And UniPro is built on a SerDes-based protocol, and it is so new and novel that they haven't developed standard products to interface to that particular standard yet. So each module in the phone embeds an FPGA to serve as the network interface portion of the module. So there's a standard UniPro implementation on one side to talk to the backplane and interact with other modules. Then there's a programmable and flexible backend to the module where each developer can develop their own unique capabilities and interface efficiently to the main UniPro network that runs in the endoskeleton.
Very cool. Now, Ara, let me wrap this up with a bit of an off-the-cuff question. Now, I couldn't help noticing that the project and you have the same name. Now, what's the story here?
That is strange, isn't it? So I'm the mechanical design lead on the project, and I'm just one person working on it, and I'm not even in charge of it. But there was a meeting to pick a name, and a lot of names were put up on the board, and someone sort of jokingly added my name to the list, and there was a selection process, and you see what happened.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Ara and David. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now, Ara isn't just an engineer working on one of the coolest projects since, well, I don't know when. Did you know that he is also an MIT grad who has worked on some really cool robotics projects? It's true. I've posted a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, including Ara's awesome video about reconfigurable robots. Yeah. You'll also find the latest episode of my video blog series called On the Scene Project Ara down there as well. Check them out. You'll be glad you did. Hey, did you know that EE Journal conducts an annual survey about FPGA tools? It's true. And did you know that we are giving away one grand prize of a $250 Amazon.com gift card and five $50 Amazon gift cards as well? Just think of all the awesome stuff you could get with that loot. You can check out this short survey by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Okay, how about some bravado? Are you a Xilinx FPGA fan? Would you like a personalized tour of Vivado's integrated design environment? Of course. I knew you would. Then you should really check out one of the newest episodes of EE Journal's Hip and Happenin' Chalk Talk webcast series. It's called Vivado Design Suite Integrated Design Environment. Catchy title. Anyway, in this episode of Chalk Talk, Brian Lay of Xilinx and I take you on a grand journey through the bits, bytes, and luts of Xilinx's Vivado Design Suite. It's cool, and the chalkboard introduction is hilarious. But don't take my word for it. You can watch this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, or you could head on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal, or heck, if the money's right, I'll deliver this presentation right to your door with Starbucks. But my personal courier service isn't cheap. Just, you know. Before we go, it's time for a little EE Journal social media message. If you haven't gotten around to liking us on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. You can also check out our tweets at EE Journal TFM and join our circle on Google Plus. Are you feeling the circle? Kumbaya. Oh, sorry. Okay. Oh, wait. And we also have that YouTube channel, chock full of all kinds of techie awesomeness, including that Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 25th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.